Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Good morning, and I welcome each and every one here today. If there's guests among us, I pray that you will also feel welcome as we get together as in Paul writes, imperfect people, yet we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, and so he delivered us, and this he wanted to deliver each and every one of us from our brokenness. We had even and to get healing from brokenness, and so here is this Galatians 1 talks about the grace and peace, which is from God. God our Father only, and so we can know this, and all of us can know him as knowing that he is the one that created the whole world. He created us, and he wanted us to be freed from sin, and as we realize that Adam and Eve, they sinned, and they took the fruit, which they was said not to, and they did, but Jesus Christ set us free. And so with that, I would just like to have a short prayer, and then we'll have a couple of songs. Heavenly Father, as we are gathered here today, we are so thankful for a house that we can gather, and we're so thankful that you are a God that sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and that you came to redeem us from our sins. And Lord, we pray for a great healing upon us here today again. Lord, we all face with struggles in one way or another. May it, when we're older, that we struggle with our body and health, and or even when we're younger, we are anxious about certain things, and also even middle age, where we have all our difficulties. And Lord, we pray that your spirit would move among us, and that the evil spirit would be rebuked out of this sanctuary or even surrounding it. We pray that your spirit would move, your Holy Spirit would fill us with the love that you, have for us. And so we pray for those that are in this city or Winkler here in the province, Canada. We pray for the people lost. We pray for the people in the world today, and especially also for Israel, Lord. We pray for your people. We ask that you be gracious unto them, merciful, and that they would also become, believing in you, Jesus, as we have that opportunity, each and every one of us. And so we pray for the sick in the hospitals at home. We continue to pray for our governments and wherever they are in the area or even in the province, country. We pray for each and every one of them and ask that you grant them strength, Lord, to lead and guide the country, the province, and the area. So thank you, Father, again for being so gracious unto you, unto us, that you would lead and guide us and give us understanding and wisdom. So thank you, Father, as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll have a couple of songs.
Take the red book and turn to number 453. The time is short.
The time is short, the years are flying like tempest clouds along the sky. Today we smile and weep and labor, tomorrow we in silence lie. Today we smile and weep and labor, tomorrow we in silence lie. The time is short, away with malice, with sharp he'd retort. Away with harsh and cruel judgments, with deeds unkind, the time is short. Away with harsh and cruel judgments, with deeds unkind, the time is short. We have no time for aimless drifting, for idle dreams, for selfish end. No time for languid, weak endeavor, our strength on worthless tasks to spend. No time for languid, weak endeavor, our strength on worthless tasks to spend. Then at our last let each be living, full soon will sound life's evening bell. Be this our aim to find our duty, be this our prayer to do it well. Be this our aim to find our duty, be this our prayer to do it well.
Can we all turn to number 202, I Need Thee Every Hour? Number 202.
I need thee every hour, bolder voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour in joy. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Savior, I come to thee.
Well, thank you for those songs. You know, needing, we are needy people. And we have a holy God that creates the needs that we need and gives us the needs. And even a lot of times wants, he even supplies that too. And so the first part of the message today, I want to talk about a holy God. And you know, it's God is holy. And what does it mean, holy? And in the Bible, the word holy means something is pure, perfect, and set apart for God. The Hebrew word for holy literally means separate or separate or set apart. When we're talking about God's holiness, we're talking about his absolute purity. He's unstained by sin and evil. He's perfect in every way and perfectly all the time. So we can see that our God that we have is a holy God, and he's not a God that has any sin, he has any stain. He's perfect. And so we, as people, are not that way. And we have Isaiah. When we turn to Isaiah chapter 6, we find verses there where also Isaiah, he found himself that he was unperfect, that he was not a person that would even be able to, or, you know, see this, what he sees here or has seen here. And so Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 7 here. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So we can see a little bit to see what God is shows him here. Isaiah here that, in the temple, and that he's there. And then he says that, above it stood the seraphims, each he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So here we see that also that the seraphims, they were beautiful angels. And they, what they did is they covered themselves. They weren't going to show their beauty at all. And so then goes on to say in verse 3, he says, and one cried unto another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So we see that the fullness of, you know, God is still in the world today, as the earth is still full of his glory, as we see everywhere. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. And I said, so now Isaiah is speaking here what he saw and all the things that he saw. Now he makes a comment on this next couple of verses. He says, or at least the next verse, he says, and I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So we can see here in this verse where he feels very unworthy. He feels very, as he sees, you know, he says, I am undone. I had it. I've been, you know, I'll be destroyed now because of the holiness of God as what he saw. And even that he was living in amongst a people of unclean lips. And so then he goes on to say in verse 6, it says this, and they then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, and laid it up upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. So we see here that this coal of fire would be the one that would take away, you know, the sins that he had, that he could speak purity, that he could also be one that would be a speaker for God, and that he wouldn't die for what he had seen. And so we sometimes think, well, the holiness of God, how can we ever match that? How can we ever get there? And yet we do see that if we go to 1 Peter, there too, as we see that the coal and of the fire, Jesus also mentions that, you know, he counsels people to buy of the gold tried in the fire, which is, Revelation chapter 3. But when we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and on, he says this, Gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here he already said, be sober. Be someone that is clear-minded, as we have, you know, girded up our loins, and he says, and hope to the end of the grace that is brought unto you after when Jesus Christ was revealed to you. And then he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And you know, when we sang that song, that the first song there, I noticed that not things, you know, you don't work ways or idle things, do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says here, as this is revealed to you, you know, and children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. So those that didn't know, now you know. And he says, now to be obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the world. You know, when I see and read this, then I think about it, and I, you know, we are in a summer months, and we see a lot of people not wearing things what they should be wearing. They're not covered at all, or very little. And in here we see that we ought not to do that. We ought to, says, not according to the former lusts of what you didn't know. So the world doesn't know, but the Christians should know. But we see a lot of times the Christians do not obey what it says, because in 15 it says, but as he which has called you is holy, be ye holy in all matter of conversation. Whatever walk you have, whatever walk ye or talk you have it is in the Lord. Be a holy people. Because it is written, be ye holy God. We see now today also, we see here, be ye holy as I am holy. And then it goes on to say, and if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of sojourning here in fear. So we're calling upon the Father. He has no respect of persons. So he judges according to how you live or how I live in Jesus. That's how he judges. He doesn't judge you saying, well, you know, just because you fail or whatever. It's not saying that. He's saying very clearly, stated here in this, even this chapter, he says, you know how to walk. You are in Jesus. We have the Bible, so we know the directions. So we are being judged according to what we do with what is given to us. And so if we don't, then we will be held accountable. But is that works? It is, we are not saved by works, but we are judged by our works. Whatever we do after we're saved, how do we walk? And that's how, as we journey here in the fear of God, not in scared of God, but a fear that we don't want to sin. We don't want to, we want to walk in holiness. As he goes on to say, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, the suffering Jesus Christ did for us, that precious blood that he spilled on the cross, that was for us so we could be clean and that we could walk in the way of the Father, in the way that the Son would walk as Jesus Christ did in holiness. So then he goes on to say, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. So last times for you, he says, this was already all finished right at the beginning when Adam and Eve had already sinned, or even before that, because he knew that man would fail. But because man would fail, then he would send Jesus Christ in the last times, which is 2,000 years ago, or so almost, whatever it is, we in our calendar says 2,000. But if it is, doesn't matter. It's been some time ago, and he said, in the last times, 2 days ago, as he said, 1,000 years is like one day, and 1 day is like 1,000 years. Peter also talks about that. So we talk about 2 days ago, he said, okay, now I sent my Son, and now today, he's opened up. He is opened up. And then he says on, goes on to say, whom by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in this God, in God. That we will have this glory, this hope in God, that our faith will stand in him. No matter what it is, no matter what difficult times we go through, that faith stands in this God that created everything. And seeing, he said in verse 22 and on, he says, and seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit of unfeigned love and of the brethren, that ye see that ye love one another as a with a pure heart fervently. So unfeigned, not painted, not a hypocritical love, but rather a pure, as he says, unfeigned love. A pure, with a pure heart, we and fervently. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all grass is as, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The glory, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So Peter describes well here in this chapter that we are born of not something that's corruptible, but he makes it very clear that saying our flesh, it dies. Our flesh will be just like the grass. We see, you know, in spring it looks very green. When it comes to fall, it goes brown, it dies, or he sucks, you know, as it says in the gospel also says, in the morning it grows up, in the evening it dies. So we have a very good reason for to be born again to of this Jesus, you know, of the blood of Christ, that we are born again. And then further it said, you know, called to be holy, as our Father in heaven is holy, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, gold tried in the fire, as we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. And then also, we also read in Revelation chapter 4, as where he also, we read about the same seraphims that were in Isaiah chapter 6. Revelation 4, verse 8 to 11. And the four beasts, which had them, each of them have six wings about him. They were full of eyes within, and they rested not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come." And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the crown, the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy." He's saying very clearly that Jesus is worthy of these crowns. He's the one that suffered for it. He is the one that is actually, it belongs to. He says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created." So with that, let us, whoever is able, go before the Lord on our knees. Let us kneel. May the Lord bless the prayers that have been prayed. Amen.
Take the blue book and turn to number 157, The Lily of the Valley. 157, for those that are able, let's stand.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, and him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows borne. In temptation, he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him, for forsaken and all my idols thrown from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory to see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Thank you for that song. I want to talk about to blow ye the trumpet in Zion. And sometimes we wonder why we should blow the trumpet in Zion. Why should it be in the church talked about? And yet I think as we set alarms in the mornings to get up, or we have certain things that, you know, bring attention to our, to us something. And we all know that, and all have heard, that Jesus is coming back. It's not determined when it is, but it is also to be talked about. And one of the things is, to some of us, he may come back shortly, though some of us may be longer, and so we we don't know. I want to turn to Joel chapter 2, and here it's also prophesied on the day of the Lord. And Joel chapter 2, I want to read 1 to 11. Here it says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Excuse me. And sound an alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever like the like. Neither shall he be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them as it is, as the appearance of horses and of horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots and of on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in a battle, in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall One thrusts another into another sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the cities, they shall run upon the wall, they shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief, they shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? And so we can see here just this passage when he talks about blow a trumpet in Zion. You know, make an alarm. Tell people Jesus is coming. He's coming back. And as we see it, the world itself will not be anything great. We can see how even he talks about, you know, it was like the Garden of Eden, but behind it everything is burned. So it's not going to be well. And one of the things that comes to mind is in January 17th, 2025, there was an alarm set, or they were saying that there was going to be a blizzard. And it's going to become very fast. And, you know, that reminded me when I was preparing this some time ago, when it reminded me that people didn't actually heed to that, or many people did not heed to that warning. Many people did not heed to that warning, to that blizzard, which was going to be, like I said, very short. It's going to, how many of you remember this? But I do. Because it was right in the time that we had an accident in December, and this was in January, and we were dealing with MPI. And so I remember well that they were talking about this. And then we came to MPI and they said there was over 600 accidents on that morning. Why was that? People did not heed the warning. And that's the same thing goes with, you know, the end times. We have a very important time. To heed the warning. It is, you know, that Christians, that you are solid grounded in Jesus Christ, that you are not in any way, you know, sidetracked in the world. Because as it says, the time is not going to get better. Brothers and sisters, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. As we see that even in here, and you know, we have homosexual pride parades. They're continually further. The church is actually accepting, more and more churches are accepting that. So things are getting darker. And God is going to bring judgment upon this earth. So one thing is very sure. Are we ready the day when the Lord comes? Is it today, or is it tomorrow, or is it 10 years from now? We don't know. But are you ready? If we blow the trumpet today saying there's a blizzard coming, will you believe it? Will you believe it that today that Jesus Christ is telling us to be totally ready, that he comes and he's coming? Or how ready are we? Are we trembling before the Lord? The day of the Lord cometh, for is nigh at hand, it says, very clear. Verse 2 says that Jesus said in New Testament also, great tribulation. He also says in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was speaking, and he said to to these people, and he was speaking to the Pharisees here, and I pray none of us are Pharisees or Sadducees. But it says here, it says the Pharisees in verse 1, Matthew 16, verse 1, and the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, tempting, desired him that he would shewed them the sign and said unto them, It is evening, ye say. When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red and lowering. So he says, he makes it a clear statement how it is in this world, how the weather would be. He says, but ye say, so you know. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Then Jesus says, oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye discern the signs of the times? And then he says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. So we can see clearly in this part that he says there is not, and it's an adulterous, he says, and it's an adulterous generation. And I don't want to say that, in the church of such, but I want to say that if there is, then we should stop. We should quit. And some of us are older here today. Some of us are younger. I am also in between. So when is our time? So do we stand ready that when Jesus comes, or we just say, well, I'll just live my life and hopefully I'll get there. Hopefully I'll get there. Genesis chapter 13, he also comments about this Garden of Eden, or the garden. He says here in verse 10, chapter 13, verse 10, it said, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, very, very everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So he can see that how well it was watered, how green it was, and look at the time we have today. Look at the time we have today. We have it as green as could be. We have as opportunity as much as we have today to preach the gospel. We have it as green as could be, as wild as could be. And as Joel talked about, that will all be burnt up. But where is our soul? Where are we standing today? It was before, that... We are in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not a question about it. It is, as we see things around us. As we see the things around us. And then when we go to Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16, verse 49 says, Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. So he was clearly stating in the time when when Sodom and Gomorrah was, and he tells that this was the sister of Sodom. See, what was their problem? What was their issue? Why was it called Sodom and Gomorrah? Why was it burned up? He clearly states, it says, number one, pride. We stand in the day of pride today. We see signs put up in the Pembina Valley. What do we have? Pride. And these are a lot of people, they call themselves Christians, and it's pride. And then the other thing he says, fullness of bread. Fullness of bread. Very full. I'm not going hungry. I don't know, are you going hungry? We hardly say, we go hungry. No, we don't go hungry. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. A lot of time on our hands. A lot of times on our hands. As in her daughter and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. So she wasted the time. So is the church today wasting the time saying, look, we have all this stuff. Let the poor fend for themselves. We have our stomachs full. What do they need the poor for? What do we need to help? I mean, not saying that we don't do some, but the church doesn't do nearly enough for the poor and needy. As he says, and Joel, he says in verse 6, there's much pain. Jeremiah talks about blow that trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Jeremiah chapter 5. You see, all over the whole Bible, it talks about give warning to the people that Jesus is coming. And there's going to be a very difficult time. And it's because of sin in the world. Jeremiah 4 verse 5 says, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Let us get us, you know, our defense into Jesus Christ, because the time is close. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14 and on, it says, and the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Even the mighty men which call themselves mighty men today, they will cry bitterly. And the day, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. And this is not to scare the church. This is to awaken the church. To awaken the church that this we are awake, not we. As we see in Revelation, when he talks about in verse chapter 3, he talks about the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church. Awake, a day of trumpet and a sound, an alarm against the defense cities. Defense cities. You know, we think we're covered. We think we live in a, well, we're not harmed. How are we going to? How is that going to harm us? We're in a perfect good spot. That's why there's supposed to be alarm sets. They're supposed to be, you know, blowing the trumpets. And against the high towers, I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about many people will not believe in the truth. They will not. And he says, and then I will even bring a lying spirit to them that don't believe the truth. And guess what? They will believe it. They will right after it. And this is very dangerous in the time we live today, where we live today, that we are not blind, that we have our, you know, Jesus, that he is our light and our shining, because they have sinned, he says, against the Lord. And they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. So it is so clear and so much visible that we should be awakened. As we turn to Revelations chapter 18, Revelations chapter 18, verse 4, he states it very clearly here. He says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And you see, and the other thing is God does not pour the wrath on the children, on his children. He will not. But we need to be his children to the fullest, not to saying, well, I'm just a, you know, half-born Christians. I can't. Those are the ones that he's going to say, what? The wrath will be poured upon. He says very clearly, they will also receive their plagues. So he says, come out. And as we see, there's much warning given, was much warning given to the blizzard on January 17th, 2025, on that Friday. And how many heeded the morning? Many did not. They got stranded. They had either, you know, hit somebody, accident. I don't know, there wasn't many people killed, but they were still stranded. We live in a day and age where it is very green, as I said before already, a green time. So we follow along with whatever comes. And see, and this is where the church is supposed to be awake, that we don't follow along whatever comes. As you see, technology. Technology is good if we use it for good. But you know, we were at the conference and they used it. They said there was screen time. And you know what too much screen time did? They called it brain rot. And they said people, that younger people were experiencing the same things as elderly, where they would say Alzheimer's. They were experiencing that. And so we see technology is good, and it is to be, you know, used. But how do we use it? How much time do you spend, or do I spend on screen time and wasting my time or wasting God's time and not glorifying God, number one, and not helping the poor and the needy? You know, as much of it today is, you know, they can totally monitor everything of your body, and they're trying to scare us to say, well, you know, you should put all this on. If you don't, you should monitor all those things. If you don't, then this can happen, this and this and this. Why are we worried about the world? Why aren't we concerned about our Father in heaven and the glory of his Father, of our Father? You know, when Jude says, defend your faith, like really, like go and read Jude, you know, he says, make sure you defend your faith in Jesus Christ. Like I said, technology isn't the problem. How do we use it? How much do we think we need of it? Do we need Facebook? Do we need all these chats? Like I said, they brought great warnings about how much FaceTime people were on, and that there was what they call brain rot. You know, we have chips implanted. So we're getting used to this all, and then that the devil, little by little, he's getting people to use it, do it all. Little by little. No big moves. Because he knows God's people will not accept it. But little by little, if he can just get us to move in, we'll probably accept it. Because what we didn't accept in the 50s, much more in the 80s was already, and then when we now are in the 2026, way more is accepted already. And whatever style of life there is, tell me if it's wrong or not. Tell me, am I telling wrong? That's not wrong. That is truth. We need to pick up our Bible and read the Bible and follow the directions, what it says, to live in a holy life. Warning to God's people, come out. Do not pick up that from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Realize what the devil is doing. We see in the Old and the New Testament where God's people are not taking heed or not heeding the warning. Just like the blizzard. Lots of people don't heed the warning. Will you? Will I have faith in Christ that day when all these things are taken from us? Or will we excuse ourselves and just say, that's okay, we'll just go along. Can't do without it. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 18 and 19 talks about the physical part. And I'm not excluding myself here, that I have to be very careful in this part. He says in verse 18 and 19, he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and not tell you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. That our God does not become, our belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and whose mind earthly things. Now I want to go back to Joel. Here's a great encouragement for us as Christians. Verse 12 to 18. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart and with fasting, with all your heart and with fasting, and weeping with weeping and mourning, and rent your heart and do not and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great and of great kindness, repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. And then here comes the final part of this verse. Let the bridegroom go forth in his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep before the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to the reproach. This is for us to pray for one another. This is for us to pray for Israel, for his people also. It is for us to pray, to fast. Spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thine heritage to the reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. That we realize that the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride come out of her closet. The closet. What does Jesus teach us in Matthew? What does Jesus teach us in Matthew chapter 6? Let's turn there. What does he teach us where the bride should be? much of their time, where the bride should be much of her time. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, starting, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and they say that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter where? Into the closet," he says. Where did the bride come out of when it read Joel chapter 2? Out of the closet. Enter into the closet, he says. "And when thou hast shut the door, thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly," totally openly. "And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions." Don't use vain things. Just ask the Lord for what you are in need of and what you are asking for others. "As the heathen do," don't use vain repetitions like the heathen do, "and think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask." So here we can see how the Lord is preparing his people. He's coming. The bridegroom is coming out of his chamber. And let's make sure the bride is coming out of their closet, meaning out of your prayer. In closing, let us all together pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Whatever you have on your heart now yet to you like to pray, whoever is able, let us go on our knees and ask the Lord whatever petition we have at this point. So whoever is able, let us kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we all take out our blue hymnals and turn to number 213? "I Know Whom I Have Believed." Number 213.
I know. made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I am believing, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Good morning. Just a reminder for anyone that has a resolution to bring up at the annual Brotherhood meeting, that needs to be done by July 31st. And also, today is a fellowship meal. If you can't make it today, you are welcome to join us next time. It's always the end of the month, and everyone is welcome to join us. Have a blessed day.
Hi, thank you. And also thank you, all of you, for coming. And I just want to bless you yet with the benediction, as we are so needful of the blessings from God. So let us bow. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord preserve thy going out and coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. Remember that Jesus loves you.